Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. And on Speaking of History, we talk about education, technology, and history. And this is podcast number 19. Today is April 9th, 2006. It's a beautiful spring day here in Liberty, Missouri, at school this evening on Sunday afternoon, getting some stuff ready for the upcoming week. Did a bunch of lawn work, and my wife started to plant her garden. So I'm just kind of winding things down and going to sit down a little bit and talk about some stuff that's happening in my classroom. We'll start off with some news, then we'll talk about a review of some of the classroom goals that I talked about earlier in August of 2005, and then also some spring goals that I have that are history related. First of all, with some news, there is an article that is appearing right now in the April issue, April 2006 issue, of School Library Journal. They contacted me about 2 or 3 months ago and wrote an article up, and you can find it in the April issue, or if you want to go online, you can also view it online, and I put a link to that article in the show notes. They just kind of did an article about the way that I've been using podcasting and blogging in the classroom, and I appreciate it very much. They're very interested in what we're doing here in the classroom. So if you want to check that out, the link for that is in the show notes. And then also I was notified that I am one of the finalists for Cable's Leaders in Learning Awards, and that is an amazing program that the cable industry started last year, and I'm very honored to be one of the 41 finalists. They will announce the winners, I think, sometime in April, and then the actual event is in Washington, D.C. in June of 2006, and I'm under the category of pushing the envelope. I talked a little bit about using podcasting and some blogging in the classroom, and again, I'm very honored to be in that category. On the website, they have the list of the people that are the finalists, and in my category, there's people that have done absolutely amazing things. Somebody out in Arizona that basically was the driving force behind opening up a school that does not use textbooks at all and does everything with laptops. There's people that have done amazing programs with school districts, so go ahead and check that out, but I'm trying not to think about it too much, because if I am one of the winners, would be an amazing event in Washington. They have a big gala at the Smithsonian, and you meet with congressional leaders, you meet with leaders from the cable industry, and the whole time I'm thinking, wow, if I could actually go to something like that, I could bring my iRiver and possibly interview some politicians and some people that are nationally known. So we'll see and cross our fingers, but if you want to check that out, the link is on the show notes. Also, the book blog project we've been working on, if you've been following the year, the Hangman Project, that is a novel that we've been reading with my students, and then also some students from other parts of the country, and we completed that last week, and I'm currently in the process of trying to get some feedback. I had 60 copies checked out to students in my classroom, and I'm going to go ahead and give them a survey this week and find out a little bit about what they liked about the project, how easy it was for them to post, what they thought of the discussion questions each week. I'm very interested to see, you know, either why they did post or why they didn't post. I did offer them a little bit of extra credit if they participated in the project, but I'm really curious to see what they thought of it, because I am planning on doing a second one this spring. The first one, The Year of the Hangman, unfortunately the author was in the process of moving. I believe that Gary Blackwood has actually moved to Canada, and so it was a little bit harder to get him involved in the blog, and I know he's extremely busy. The second book that I'm going to try this with is called Guerrilla Season, and the author is Pat Hughes, and this is an amazing book. There's a couple books that you might read in your lifetime that really have a huge impact on the way you think about things, and I'll talk a lot about Guerrilla Season in an upcoming podcast, but Guerrilla Season basically is a story about what the Liberty, Missouri area was like during the Civil War. And I'm not a Missouri native, so when I came to teach in Missouri, I didn't know a lot about the Civil War in this particular area, but it was very different than what the Civil War was like on the East Coast. It wasn't major battles or major armies fighting each other in these huge battles, although we did have some battles here locally. It was mostly the unknown, not knowing who was riding up on your farm, whether they were a supporter of the South or they were a Federalist. So this book talks about what this area was like during the Civil War. I discovered this book 3 years ago, and it's one of my favorite books of all time. And Pat Hughes actually came out to Liberty 3 years ago and ended up talking to our students a little bit about the book writing process and Guerrilla Season in particular. So if you want to participate in our blog, and I would really, really encourage anybody that has junior high students in American history or anybody that likes American history to see if you could get your students to get a copy of Guerrilla Season by Pat Hughes. Now, the first book that we did, The Year of the Hangman, that was a paperback, and so it was basically only about $5 to purchase that, and it was pretty easy to get at a lot of bookstores. Guerrilla Season will be easy to get at bookstores, but they do not have a paperback version, and so it'll be a little bit more expensive. But I've had adults read this book, I've had students read this book, and it is a very, very good book. And Pat Hughes does some amazing writing. She's written some other books also, Breaker Boys, and she's written a book about hockey and youth players playing hockey. So go ahead and look for that book. We're going to try and get that blog started probably the end of April. So if you want to participate in that second one, I know Pat, and I've talked to her a little bit on the phone, and I think that we can get her to participate a little bit with the students. And so I think this will be a really good learning experience. I learned a lot doing the blog the first time on some of maybe the discussion questions to ask, and I'm going to try and build off of some of the feedback that students are going to give me, and we're going to try and really get this thing going in the spring. I think it's a really worthwhile project. It doesn't cost anything as far as software or anything to get started, and I'm kind of trying to model it for some of their teachers in my district. So if you want to participate, please go ahead and check that. I will have a link on the show notes if you want to go ahead and check that book out. Also, this past week, or I guess 2 weeks ago now, I did some podcast training within our district. I did a podcast session at an in-service we did in February for teachers within the Liberty School District. And it was basically, this is what a podcast is, and I talked about what I'm doing with speaking of history. The one that I had 2 weeks ago was more of a nuts and bolts type session. And we offered these after school. It's completely optional. But we did have about a dozen people that showed up that wanted to learn more about the particulars of podcasting. And so I showed them how to use Audacity. I showed them how to use the MP3 player a little bit if they wanted to record audio on iRiver and then put it into Audacity. Some options they would have as far as hosting. And it's been really good. We've got a lot of teachers that are asking about Audacity, and in particular if they want to buy an MP3 player, what particular one to buy, so they can use an internal microphone and things like that. So I think we're kind of starting to get a little bit on the edge of having more people podcast within our school district, and that really excites me that we could possibly expand a little bit. I'd love to have like a Liberty Public School podcast page and have the podcast from different teachers. One of the areas that's really been excited about it are the librarians, and I've actually had some requests to do some specific trainings for librarians on how they can use it this summer when they want to do some recording of students and the written work they're going to do this summer, and then a little bit with some book reports. So I'm very encouraged by that. I'm excited to see where that goes, and I'll be possibly doing some more specific training with people a little bit later in the spring, so I'll let you know how that goes. And if anybody out there has done the same thing and done some training for teachers in their district, please let me know. One of the toughest things for me to describe, because for some reason it's hard to really get a handle on the particular topic of RSS feeds. And you can't really explain podcasting without explaining RSS feeds. And I kind of went over it in my head quite a bit before we did the presentation. Do I show them how to do a podcast as far as the Audacity part and the editing part before I explain RSS feeds? Or do I try and explain RSS feeds and then go into the creation of it? And I actually talked to them a little bit about RSS feeds first, and then we did the second part on creating the podcast, and it seemed to go pretty well. But I would love to hear from anybody else that's done particular training with their staff about podcasting and the actual nuts and bolts of doing that. All right, let's get on to the meat of the show tonight, and that is going to be a review of some of the goals that I set earlier this year for my classroom in terms of technology. You can go back and look. It was back in August of 2005, one of my very early podcasts. And when I started to take classes on educational tech back in, I think it was 1998, for my master's, one of the things that I did each year was I decided, okay, what am I going to do with technology this year? For example, after I discovered PowerPoint and multimedia presentations in 98, my goal is to take one of my five preps and make that completely PowerPoint as far as a presentation tool for the classroom. And that was my goal for that year, was to see if I could create all of my lecture notes or all of my presentation notes on PowerPoint. And so that was my goal for that year, and I accomplished it. Then I gradually moved on, and I think my goal for like year three, after I started taking classes, was to have a classroom web page. So I've started off very gradual, but I'm one of those people that I like to have a list down in front of me and try and see if I can accomplish those goals in a particular period of time. And I guess I've always been that way. So I sat down and wrote six goals for this classroom year, for my classroom, on how I wanted to use technology. And I'm going to kind of just review how I've done and some things that I didn't do that I would like to maybe change, and then talk about some lists that I want to do for this summer. I talked about that I wanted to blog with students, and I feel like I did that with the Year of the Hangman project, and I'm trying to do that with the Gorilla Season project, and that's been very successful, I think. Learned a lot. There's some little things that I want to change with the second book blog, but I feel like I've accomplished the blogging with students goal. I wanted to do a history broadcast video, and that is something that I'm not going to get to this year. I still think there's a lot of potential there. My idea is to try and do maybe a quarterly show on local history, where I'd have students do small little video articles about a particular topic within the community, and then maybe add some facts and maybe do some interviews with local historians, and then put that into maybe a 10 or 15 minute show that could then air on our local cable network. We have a channel where our school district is able to show productions, and I think there's still a lot of potential with a project like that. I think this year I got so involved with the podcasting that podcasting kind of became my focus when I had available time instead of doing the video portion of that. So we'll see what happens next year. I think there's still a lot of potential for that. But this year that one did not really get accomplished and probably won't be by the end of the school year. Goal number three was to have the social studies staff here at South Valley Junior High using the iRiver MP3 players as an instructional tool. And we haven't done a lot of that. I mean, I'm using the iRivers for some things. We haven't really gotten to the point where I think a lot of the other staff feels comfortable with it, but we're trying and we have them, and so I am kind of expanding to some of the other departments like the library media specialist. So I feel like as a staff we're kind of getting a handle on it, but we haven't really become super efficient at it yet either. Goal number four, I wanted to have students help community members teach them technology. And we had a very successful community technology night back in November of 2005, where we had community members come in and our students taught them how to create some templates for Christmas projects like labels and Christmas cards. Then they also taught them Photo Story 3 so that they could take their digital still photographs and make a video out of it. So that one I feel like we accomplished. That was a great success, and we'll definitely do one again next year. Goal number five, long-distance collaboration with other teachers. Did a little bit of that with the Year of the Hangman blog. I would still like to do some other projects. There's a teacher in California, Chris Watson, that I met at the Microsoft Innovative Teacher Forum last year, and we've kind of gone back and forth a couple times with emails, and he teaches 8th grade history also, and we're going to try and get together and do some type of project. Our curriculums don't really match up at the correct times as far as where we're at in American history when they are, but I definitely want to do some more long-distance collaboration with other teachers. Number six, the final one, podcast an interview with a member of the community, and I was able to do that. I interviewed one of the local politicians that represents Liberty and Clay County down in Jefferson City at the Capitol as a member of the House of Representatives, so we did that. And then I'm also trying to work out a schedule right now where I can have one of my students interview the mayor of Liberty, and they both want to do it. It's just a matter of finding the right Saturday when they have available time. So those are my six goals at the beginning of the year, and basically two of them that I think I really didn't accomplish as well as I wanted to. But you know, I knew when I set those out that they were pretty aggressive goals for the year, and I'll kind of recharge the batteries a little bit this summer and see what goals I want to set up for next year. I do have a couple goals that I want to accomplish this spring and this summer, and they're not really so much classroom related, but they'll eventually help the classroom. I live in an area here in Liberty, Missouri. I'm just outside of Kansas City, just north of Independence, Missouri. And there are so many local historical places in this area. And like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I'm not a native of Liberty. I've only lived here for 5 years. I was born and raised in Nebraska, and felt like I knew Nebraska history fairly well growing up there. And my dad was a history teacher, and I loved history, and taught there for 7 years. So I felt pretty comfortable with Nebraska history, and I'd seen a lot of the historic places there. But down here in Liberty, there are still a lot of places that I have not seen. And they're places that I've thought about going for the last 3 or 4 years, but I've never actually gone. So, like I mentioned earlier, creating a list helps me out. So I've created a list of the 5 things that I want to go to in this area sometime either this spring or this summer. And I put the list up with links on the show notes page. And if any of these interest anybody and you want me to specifically look for some question or a topic at that place, let me know. I'm planning on doing a little bit of an interview at each of these places and possibly a little kind of story video. If you look back on the podcast I did a couple episodes ago on the Churchill Museum down in Fulton, Missouri, I took pictures there and then I made it into a little photo story 3 video. And that's kind of what I'd like to do with each of these places. So if there's anything you want me to specifically look for at any of these places, let me know and just give me an email. But the 5 places that I want to see, and these are all like 15 minutes within my house. So I won't have to travel very far. But if there are things that you keep saying, oh, I'd like to do, you know, I don't have time this weekend, I don't have time that weekend. But these are the 5. The first one is the Truman Presidential Library in Independence. I'm a huge Truman fan. Read the biography by David McCullough 2 or 3 years ago. And in fact, my wife and I have actually stayed in the hotel room in Excelsior Springs where Truman stayed the night that he was elected president. The one that you've seen with the famous newspaper where it says, Dewey defeats Truman. He actually thought he wasn't going to win that night. And he was staying up in Excelsior Springs, which is north of Kansas City, at a very elaborate resort called the Elms, and they woke him up pretty much in the middle of the night and said, hey, it looks like you're going to win. Let's get you down to Kansas City to one of the bigger hotels and, you know, make it look like you are ready to win. And my wife and I actually stayed in that suite at the Elms shortly after we were married. So I'm a huge Truman fan, but haven't been to the museum yet, and that's something I'm very excited to see. The second one, and this one came to me, it comes to me every spring when I teach the unit on Industrial Revolution. There's a place called Watkins Mill. Watkins Mill is a textile mill that is, I believe, the last complete working textile mill in America. At least that's what it says on the website, from the 19th century. And so I do want to go up and see Watkins Mill. Every time I talk about the Industrial Revolution with my students in the spring of the year, a lot of my students have been to Watkins Mill, and I have not seen it yet, so I'm excited to see that. The third thing that I want to see this spring is a Fort Osage, and that is a fort that was actually created by William Clark on their way out west on the expedition, and they've created a huge, it's almost like a Williamsburg-type atmosphere where they have people in costume and they have all kinds of buildings there. It's basically like a working city for this area in the 1870s. So I have not been there, and that's something that I want to accomplish this spring or this summer. The fourth one is the Jesse James Farm. Here in Liberty, we're kind of tied to Jesse James historically because supposedly one of the first banks that they robbed was here in Liberty. And it was robbed. There's just a little bit of a question as to whether or not Jesse James was there that day. But it was the first daylight bank robbery in America. And it's right on our square. We have a courthouse and a square, and you can go and visit the bank that was robbed, and they have a very nice gift shop here in Liberty. And I've been to that several times, but I've not been out to the Jesse James Farm, which is located in Kearney, Missouri, about 15 minutes north of where I live. And so I do want to go out and check that out this spring. And then the last one will probably have to be a little bit later in the summer. Kansas City is the home of the Liberty Memorial National World War I Museum. And right now they're in the process of finishing that up. They've received millions and millions of dollars in grants over the last several years. And the top part of the memorial has been done for a long time. Actually, it was created right after World War I. But the basement, they've got a whole bunch of interactive displays. Is going to be the national World War I museum for the United States. And I mean, something like $40 million they've pumped into this museum. And I've been there before and seen the portion that is the older portion, but supposedly downstairs are going to have full-size planes that were used in World War I, tanks, again, computer interactive displays, all kinds of things. So I'll probably have to wait until the end of the summer, because I believe actually in November of 2006, I think it's supposed to be completely done, but I think parts of it you can actually see today. And that interests me in particular because my grandfather, Henry Langhorst, was actually a World War I German Marine and fought in the trenches during the war. And we have pictures from him in the trenches and various things and lots of stories that he told us. And so I'm very interested in World War I history. So those are the five things that, if I have them down on a list, hopefully I'll be able to accomplish them over the next couple of months. And I'm going to try and do a podcast from each of those. And email me if you have any questions or want me to check anything out particular with those museums. Again, you can contact me at any time at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And I try and answer every email that I get. So if you have a question, please send one out, or any comments that you might have about the show. And then also, if you notice on the top part of the webpage, I do have ads from Google AdSense. And I think I mentioned this on an earlier show, but I put that up about 3 months ago. And basically, if you click on one of those ads, then depending on some type of auction type system to decide who gets an ad on the top of my blog, I get a couple cents for that. It depends on how many people click on it. You don't have to purchase anything at the website. Basically, just you clicking on it throws me a couple cents. And in the last 3 months, I think my total is up to like $13.30 or something. So if you want to try and help support the show, when you do go to the webpage, just click on one of those. And I think you only have to be there for like a second or so, and you can come back. And it's actually usually tied in some way to the theme of the show, because they do some type of search for what the content of the blog is, and then they kind of try and match that up with an ad. So lately it's been stuff like the History Channel, or sometimes there's things about teaching grants. So I click on them just to see what they are. I just find it interesting to see who's bidding for advertising on the top of my blog. So go ahead and click that if you'd want to support me. I don't think I actually get anything from Google until I reach a certain amount, but I'd probably do something like buy a microphone, or, you know, maybe a couple books on podcasting or something. And it doesn't cost you anything, just a couple seconds. So if you want to support the show, that's one way you can help me out. All right, well, that's tonight's show. I hope I didn't bore anybody too much there, just kind of talking about some lists, but seemed like a lot of people had some feedback on the list when I put that out in August, so I was going to update it and tell you a little bit about where I was at, and go ahead and check out the show notes. I do have some great podcasts coming up, hopefully here in the next week. Tonight, actually, I was going to mention this at the beginning of the show, tonight on April 9th is the beginning of the History Channel's 10 Unexpected Events That Changed American History, and it's supposed to be a great, great series. It goes from the 9th through the 13th, and I put that as a link on the show notes. And the one that I'm particularly excited about actually happens towards the end, and that's on Shay's Rebellion. The last podcast, I did an interview with Bill Plimpton. He was the artist for that episode. It's a completely animated episode on Shay's Rebellion. And on the 12th of April, I have a phone interview scheduled with R.J. Cutler, who is the producer of that episode. And so I'm very excited to see what he says about this episode. I think it's going to be a really interesting one for teachers to use in the classroom when they're teaching about the American Revolution, or post-American Revolution, and Shay's Rebellion. So I'll be looking for that. And I do have a couple interviews yet in the can. I have an interview with the state archivist for the state of Missouri, and I've got some audio of a gentleman that portrays York from the Lewis and Clark expedition. He came and spoke to my students about 2 weeks ago, so I have the audio portion of that presentation. So I got a couple things coming up. Let me know if you'd like me to do something in particular or address a particular topic, and I will try and do the best that I can. Well, thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.